Let's read together Job chapter 1, verses 6 through 22. In this portion of Job chapter 1, we have the first test of Job's faith, the test of possessions. Let's read verses 6 through 19. Job chapter 1, beginning with verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, when the Sabaeans raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels, and took them away. Yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house. And it fell on the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you." Let's begin our study of this portion of Job chapter 1 with some background notes. We saw in the first part of this chapter that Job was a godly believer. He was greatly blessed with material possessions and a large family. Now in the verses before us, we see that Job's faith is tested when he loses all his material possessions and all of his sons and daughters as well. The curtain is drawn aside in these verses, and we observe a dialogue between God and Satan taking place somewhere in the heavenly realms. We read in verse 6, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them." Sons of God here refers to the angels. We know from Scripture that all angels were created by God as good angels and as servants, including Satan, who was known as Lucifer before his rebellion. See Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12. Let's read that verse. Isaiah 14, verse 12. "How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations?" Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. Lucifer means day star. We learn here in Job chapter 1 that angels periodically report to God concerning their activities. We gain further insight concerning this truth from the prophet Micaiah's vision as recorded in 1 Kings chapter 22. I'm reading from 1 Kings chapter 22, beginning with verse 19. "Then Micaiah said, 'Therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by, on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, Who will persuade Ahab to go up that he may fall on Ramoth Gilead? So one spoke in this manner, and another spoke in that manner. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. The Lord said to him, In what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, You shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so." From 1 Kings chapter 22, verses 19 through 22. It is quite obvious from what we learn about Satan here in Job chapter 1 that Satan is a personal being, not just an evil influence, as many people like to believe. Furthermore, we learn that Satan is not now in hell. He is active in roaming about on the earth. We read in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about or prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. We see here in Job chapter 1 that Satan also has access to heavenly realms. This truth is supported by other scriptures. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 we read, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Ephesians 6:12. And in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, Satan is called the accuser of believers, and he accuses us before God day and night. Let's move now to our doctrinal points for this portion of Job chapter 1. Doctrinal point number 1, God allows Satan to test believers to the limit. God allows Satan to test believers to the limit. In this first test of Job's faith, he lost everything, his material possessions and his family. Job was tested to the limit. Can you imagine Job's shock and grief as he received word of what had happened? In James 1 and verse 13 we read, "Let no one say he is tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." James 1:13. Now, is that a contradiction to what we have here in the case of Job? Answer: no, not a contradiction. Well, how do you harmonize this with the fact that God says to Satan in verse 12 of Job 1, "Behold, all that Job has is in your power"? The harmonization is our doctrinal point. God allows Satan to test the believer even with temptation. But God does not directly tempt anyone to sin. A good illustration would be of good and godly parents allowing their teenage children to go away to a secular school where they know the faith of their children will be bombarded and tested to the limits, both in the classroom and outside of the classroom, even with temptations to do evil. The parents are not the source of the evil in this secular world that will test and tempt their teenagers, nor are they morally culpable if their children fail the test. But they allow the test in order to prove that their children are faithful, even away from home and church. In the same way, God allows his children's faith to be tested, even with temptation. Both James chapter 1 and 1 Peter chapter 1 speak of the testing of our faith, to prove our faith, and to strengthen our faith. Now, God allows three primary sources to test our faith: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Number 1, the world. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, we read, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Number 2, the flesh. In James chapter 1, verse 14, we read, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed." James 1:14. And number 3, the devil. Job chapters 1 and 2. And that's what we have before us. God allows Satan to test the believer to the limit. Doctrinal point number 2. God does not allow Satan to test the believer beyond the limit. God does not allow Satan to test the believer beyond the limit. This is the good news. There is a limit beyond which Satan cannot go when he is allowed to test the believer. Now, what is that limit? Only God knows for each believer. In the case of Job, it was his material possessions and loss of children and loss of health also, as we'll see in chapter 2. But Satan was not allowed to go beyond the protective hedge that God had around Job. Only as God removed portions of the protective hedge was Satan allowed to test Job. Praise the Lord for the protective hedge. Satan is not allowed to test the believer beyond that limit. This encouraging truth is certainly taught also in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Now, the Greek word that's used in this verse, 1 Corinthians 10:13, can be translated either temptation or test. That is, temptation to sin or test of faith. Let's read that verse, 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation or test has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted or tested beyond what you are able. But with the temptation or test will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it or endure it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. God does not allow Satan to test the believer beyond the limit. And that brings us to practical application for this portion of Job chapter 1. Let's worship as Job worshiped. Let's worship as Job worshiped. Verses 20 through 22. Job chapter 1, beginning now with verse 20. Then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshiped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. Wow. After all that happened to Job, he did not blame God in the slightest way. Could that be said of us? How often when something affects us which is far less painful than what Job suffered, we must confess that God gets at least a little bit of the blame, right? Job not only did not blame God for his troubles, but he worshiped God. Verse 20, then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshiped. Tearing the robe and shaving the head were signs of grief in that culture. Grief and worship can go together. Now look at the five statements that Job makes in verse 21 as part of his worship. Number one, naked I came from my mother's womb. Number two, and naked shall I return there. Number three, the Lord gave. Number four, and the Lord has taken away. And number five, blessed be the name of the Lord. Could we make all five statements in worship? Many believers recognize the sovereignty of God and can make the first four statements, but fall short of the fifth in times of severe tests and trial. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's worship as Job worshiped.